Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. That was Can't You Hear Me Knock It, of course, by the Stones. That was being performed by Great Moments in Vinyl from their rehearsals. And I want to welcome from this current lineup of Great Moments in Vinyl. First of all, I want to welcome back Lindsey Cochran, who puts this all together. Lindsey,
so
how
much.
Are you, buddy?
It's good to be here.
It's always great to have you on, man. It's always a blast
it's
to have you.
It's fun talking about music.
It is, man. And hearing, like, good music. This is about as good as it gets, actually. Great Moments in Vinyl will be... Tell everybody again. You know, you tell it every time you're on the show, but tell everybody what Great Moments in Vinyl is.
Well, I thought of a new story for that. I'm flipping through my computer trying
sure.
to find what I wrote up earlier, and naturally I can't find it. But I was thinking about an album, a record album... is a journey, you know? It's like moving to a new city. You get the new album and you figure out where the hot spots are and in the neighborhoods and the coffee shops and all the places you want to hang out.
Yeah.
And then they become familiar, and then you bring friends and you enjoy certain parts of it together. And so what we try to do is take people on that journey when we get on a stage, you know, take you back to an album that you loved, you know, and visit all the different little corners and nooks and crannies and put it on stage and have people get excited about those albums again.
And then,
that's what Great Moments
and then tell great stories in between the songs.
I always forget that part.
Yeah.
And then
which
I
makes it even more
music.
Unique. Yeah.
I talk about the music and give you a little backstory about why the artist chose to do that, or how what Mick and Keith were thinking, or what Brian Jones wasn't thinking, and you know, I mean, it's just what Brian Jones was doing substance wise at the time.
Well, joining in studio, Lindsey, is Phil Angotti, who has been on the show several times. I've known this guy for years. How are you?
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you too. And Rachel Drew, who is singing with Great Moments in Vinyl. You were on back in November with us.
I was. From Evanston on the phone.
Yeah. Well, you're now live in studio with us.
I am.
Yeah. Nice to meet you face to face.
You too.
So this is the second, Lindsey, this is the two Stones gigs in a row you guys are doing.
Absolutely. You know what it was is that we did a Stones gig in December, first week of the month. And, you know, we've been doing shows all year, every couple of months.
Yeah.
And Phil did the Tom Petty show with us back at the beginning of the year. He came back for Rolling Stones at the end. And my goodness, we almost sold out Martyrs. You know, I mean, it was stunning how many people were there.
Yeah.
And as the new year was dawning, we were talking amongst ourselves and thinking, what are we going to do to follow that up? And we just thought, let's do more Stones.
Right. We were talking before we got on the air, Phil and I were talking about how there is that stretch that the Stones have. There's like five albums in a row that if you don't own them, you have an incomplete record collection.
On the RollingStones.com website, it actually says Beggar's Banquet, the album that helped the Rolling Stones become the Rolling Stones, made them who they are. I think the final line was something about they found their manhood with this album, or came into their manhood.
You know, you guys did Exile last time, arguably one of the greatest rock and roll albums of all time.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, you're doing my two favorite Stones albums this time.
Well, it's hard to go wrong with any of that stretch.
Yeah, that whole stretch is amazing. But I think Let It Bleed might be my favorite Stones album.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah.
Why so?
I don't know. It's just something about there's. It's a pretty eclectic record, and it's kind of all over the map.
Phil and I were just talking about they're not really rock albums.
Yeah,
a few rock songs, but there's other things going on.
Yeah, it's weird because like it, obviously the career of the Stones lasted a lot longer than the Beatles, obviously, because they're still going and they're like in their 70s and they're touring, but you know there was the albums that I love the most. These are my two favorite Stones records. My two favorite Beatles records are Rubber Soul and Revolver. And that, to me, those two albums are like, and I think we've talked about this before, Phil, those two albums are like a bridge between the two Beatles.
You know, like the
early, you know, pop Beatles to the more experimental drug Beatles. That bridge right there, Revolver and Rubber Soul, I mean, that's, and I feel kind of similar to this.
Yeah.
The Stones, I mean, they'd gone off to do that Satanic Majesties. Well, let's back up. Before that, you know, they were just a British pop band.
Yeah.
They were part of the British invasion, you know. They were right up there with the Kinks and the Troggs and Dusty Springfield.
God, the Troggs.
They were just British pop bands. And then the Beatles kind of took it in a new way with Sgt. Pepper's and the psychedelia. Stones tried to go there, and maybe not.
Yeah,
you know, it wasn't really working.
Aftermath worked, but Satanic was a lot of critics didn't like it. Mm-hmm. There's moments on it, but yeah, I agree. It wasn't really their thing.
But that's where they. This is where they came back into what they were about, and then found how to take that and make it more their own.
Yeah,
Beggar's Banquet, Let It Bleed.
Now, you guys also last year, the year before, you did Sticky Fingers.
Yes, we did Let It Bleed and Sticky Fingers. Yeah. About a year and a half ago.
Right. Okay. And so you switched it up to Beggars this time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we want to give people something new.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I agree. You know, so anyway, but that's. I mean, those albums are all amazing. Phil, can you remember the first time you really listened to the Stones?
And there was another story coming because of this. So as a little kid, I loved pop music. My mom bought me Beatle records. I have these twin cousins, Mick and Rick, their names are, and their younger brother, Kenny Joe, is my age. They made it their mission in life to turn me into a Stones fan. Like, well, Phil likes the Beatles, but we're going to make him a Stones fan. So, like, I remember being a little kid going to their house on Avenue C on the east side, and they had the Stones posters all over the wall. And, like, I remember hearing, like, we talked Exile for the first time in their room, sitting in the room the year it came out. And little by little, they were putting these albums in my hands, and I took them home and I'd be like, oh, man.
This is...
So, like, listening to Beggar's Banquet for the first time, but Let It Bleed, I'm kind of with you. That's the album that, like, to me, that's my favorite Stones album.
It is. And a lot of people think it's kind of a weird choice, but it's I just love that record.
Yeah,
I love everything.
Like you said, it's just all over the place because you got a little bit Beggars, you have a little Exile. It's kind of a mix of where they're going and a kind of a perfect mix, I thought.
Yeah.
Nice.
Now, Rich, what about you, your first exposure to the Stones? I think we talked about this the last time you were on.
Yeah. I told the story about. I can even see the room. I was in my living room. I was like 6 years old, and my older cousin, who was 12, was there. And the first song I ever heard was Get Off My Cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And I sang it a lot, you know, as a six-year-old, but I didn't understand it.
No.
So, hey.
And what about you, Lindsay? Do you remember the first time you really were exposed to the Stones?
Boy. You know, I was hoping you wouldn't ask. I guess I've always just been aware of them.
Yeah.
I don't know where it came along, you know?
I think it's weird because, I mean, I remember the Stones being a part of all kinds of music. Like, I remember from ever since I was a little kid. But it was when I really started to get into the Stones was when Hot Rocks came out. And I know a lot of people, it's the same with the Beatles, it's the Blue and the Red albums for a lot of people. That was, like, their first, like, real exposure.
Yeah.
When I first got Hot Rocks, as a kid, I got Hot Rocks, then I just went nuts and got every album.
Can't forget about Hot Rocks.
I mean, Hot Rocks, it's amazing. It's like the best greatest hits album of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing.
I had a friend in high school, or junior high, actually, who hit me to a lot of music. But I guess he was into the Beatles. He was into Creedence. He was into Santana, but not the Stones. I don't know where I happened upon them.
Wow.
You know, I was late to the game.
It was like last year, right?
It was right before the Sticky Fingers gig, right? Great Moments in Vinyl are going to be performing Beggar's Banquet and Let It Bleed. And live this Friday, February 3rd.
Absolutely.
And it's another Friday gig.
Yeah.
Which you're off on Friday. Come
I am off on Friday.
You know
I would
get you in there.
You know a guy? Do you know a guy?
We'll find some room for you. We'll stick you on the side. You'll probably have to go on the stage.
It's at 8:30 at Martyrs. And it's these guys are great. You get some of the best musicians, you know, in town.
And helping with the storytelling, Frankie Lee is going to be back.
I love Frankie Lee.
Unless... I think he's about to become a grandfather. So,
God, Frankie Lee's going to be a grandfather?
Oh.
Jeez.
New addition to the Liats.
Wow, man. Okay, so Friday, February 3rd at Martyrs on Lincoln Avenue, and greatmomentsinvinyl.com, and we have a link on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. And so, Lindsay, do you have a little could you tell stories?
A little bit of appreciation about the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Bands from Aerosmith to the Black Crowes. They clearly learned how to rock with the Stones on the turntable. Both Liz Phair and John Spencer made full-length answer records to Exile on Main Street. Pearl Jam has covered a long list of Stones classics in concert, including Sympathy for the Devil, Ruby Tuesday, and Beast of Burden. How about blues legend Buddy Guy? He recalls how back in the day, the Chess studio engineers refused to record his guitar at a loud volume, claiming that no one would want to hear those distorted sounds. But when it got back to Leonard Chess that the British are playing it, and it's getting over, Buddy says... I turn my amp up just like those British guys. Even David Bowie has offered his appreciation. While looking back on playing with bands at the beginning of his career, Bowie once said, "I used to dream of being their Mick Jagger." That's the whole point, Richards replied. What Muddy Waters did for us is what we should do for others. It's the old thing. What you want written on your tombstone as a musician is, he passed it on.
Nice. Very, very nice. All right, we got to take a break. You guys want to take us out with a tune?
Sure.
All right.
Oh, help me, please, doctor. I'm damaged. There's a pain where there once was a heart. It's a sleeping, it's a beating. Can't you please tear it out and preserve it right there in that jar? Oh, help me, please, mama, I'm sickening. It's today, that's a day.
Very nice. Very, very nice. You can hear the whole song with the entire band on Friday night. Great Moments in Vinyl as they play out Beggar's Banquet, Let It Bleed, and more. 8:30 on Friday night, this Friday night at Martyrs. We have a link on our Facebook page. We got a break for the news. When we come back, we'll have more live music and more talk about the Stones as Great Moments in Vinyl continues right here on WGN. Back here. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. That, of course, was You Got the Silver. It's the Stones and performed by Great Moments in Vinyl. And we have three members from the lineup that will be playing Beggar's Banquet and Let It Bleed this Friday night, February 3rd, 8:30 at Martyrs. We have a link on our Facebook page for all the information. Phil Langotti, Rachel Drew, and Lindsay Cochran are here. Hi, guys.
Can I just say,
yeah.
I love her voice.
Yeah.
Oh, thank
yeah.
you.
So are you having fun doing this?
I am. I love the experience of playing with this band.
Mm.
It's very well organized by Lindsay, and I love singing with Phil.
Yeah.
So.
Sounds great.
We find the right musicians for each show.
Tell me who's on board this time.
Well, obviously, Phil is leading things with rhythm guitar and vocals, and Rachel Drew helping out with all the Keith Richards parts. Richard Pettengill, longtime associate of Great Moments in Vinyl, is playing slide. He's amazing on slide as well as lead guitar.
Yeah, he is.
A young find by the name of Benji Scheffler is playing drums. What are we, 21, 22?
Yeah,
22.
What?
I love Benji. He's an awesome kid.
This guy we've seen around in classes at Old Town School, and he's just amazing.
He's
not only is he good, but he puts on a good show while he's doing it.
He played Midnight Rambler at rehearsal with me, like, first time through, and he was getting it.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
He's 22.
Yeah.
Man.
Exactly. And he's nice.
I got shoes older.
So do I.
We're working with a keyboard player by the name of Dan Ingenthrone, who helped us with some shows. He was in the Dead Show and the Tom Petty Show this past year, and he just wonderful on the keyboards. Christian Regala is doing percussion. He sang with us in the Prince show, but he's doing percussion this. So, you know, you do Sympathy for the Devil. You do Can't You Hear Me Knocking. You got to have a conga player.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what's the Gimme Shelter, the Guiro? I'm not going to do that. I got to get a guy with an instrument. What else we got? John Bowes on saxophone, who's played with us before. He's brought in his associate Jack Cassidy on trumpet. And Billy O plays the fiddle. So...
it's a full lineup, man.
Oh, my God. We like packing the stage.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a Great Moments in Vinyl playing Beggar's Banquet and Let It Bleed. And that is, okay, where do you guys think the whole Beatles or Stones person started? Do you guys ever, because it's a thing now. You know what I think? You're either a Beatles person or a Stones person. I'm both.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I lean towards the Beatles, but I'm both. But where did all that get started? How did that become a thing? I don't know. You know?
Do you have I don't really have an answer either because I do remember, like, that was a big thing as a kid. Like, you like the Beatles or Stones?
Right.
I like them both.
Exactly. You know? Why can't we like both of them? And then every time somebody asked me that, and I've, you know, like I said, it's a thing. I've been asked that question amongst my friends and, you know, musicians and fans of music. It always comes out, are you Beatles or Stones? I mean, hell, it was in Pulp Fiction. I mean, so I don't know. I'm not really sure where that came from, but I always, you know, if I have to answer, I say the Beatles.
If I have to answer, I say the Who.
I say, or Sabbath. It's like, it's Sabbath. Forget it. So in addition to this great gig that you guys are doing on Friday, You got a Valentine's gig coming up.
Yeah.
At City Winery.
Yeah, our first. I've been talking to them for a little while, and they said we had a cancellation. You want to take this night? And I said, sure.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Monday night, February 13th.
Yeah, we're doing love songs and other conversations.
Well, talk a little bit about that. Tell us about that. And
the idea was... I want to honor Martyrs, who loves having us do rock and roll shows there. So we got a Rolling Stones set coming up this week, and we're looking at doing Nirvana in March. And I thought, I got to do something that's not going to draw from either of those shows. So I took I talked to Erin Tedesco, who's played with us in many gigs.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. She said to me, well, why don't we take the Regina Spektor band and some of the songs from that show and then add some other love songs to it? Because my contact at City Winery said, it's the night before Valentine's Day. It'd be great if you did some love songs. I said, yeah, we could do that. I mean, I'm thinking I want to put a show together that would draw. You know,
sure.
So everyone come out, please.
Yeah.
You know, we want to make sure that it get good attendance that night.
But, and by the way, City Winery is a great venue.
Well, they're going to do
I've seen a few shows there.
Night,
so oh, okay, yeah.
They're going to do that.
Wine, yeah.
It's a wonderful setting for music. and so we're going to do an assortment of love songs and other conversations. So they might not just be, you know, roses or
now are you have you guys was this a committee on what songs to pick?
Erin and I put heads together.
Yeah.
So I mean, she wanted to do, like I said, it's basically the Regina Spektor show, so we kind of pulled a lot of stuff heavily from that. But there's Sinead O'Connor in there. I mean, a song like Last Day of Our Acquaintance, not a love
such
song,
a
but
great
it's,
song
it's a relationship
God.
Song so a couple of Sinead O'Connor tunes, Fleetwood Mac tunes. I mean, there's a band that knows about relationships.
You doing Landslide?
Are
you doing Landslide?
No, a couple of Christine.
Not the most romantic. Yeah, I was going to say
Lance.
You can
go your own way.
Yeah, all the good stuff, all the breakup stuff. When the band was in relationship turmoil. I don't know how those. I don't know how that band did not. I mean, just implode.
Drugs.
That's probably what it is. But I mean, everybody was sleeping with everybody, and they're all writing about it. Like, what is going on, man?
Well, that's kind of sleeping around at Fleetwood Mac. That was going on from day one, it seems like. I mean, one of the songs we're doing is Spare Me a Little of Your Love. And that goes back to when Christine, I think she was losing John to the drink and starting to hang out with the road manager.
Yeah.
So. Great songs are born from pain.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And so I believe that's the other conversations that you're alluding to.
So that's how that set got put together.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's awesome. And it's the same, the band that was in, anybody extra going to be in there?
Well, actually, Debbie, whom we love working with, couldn't make it. So we recruited Dan Engenthrone.
Okay.
Is going to be playing keyboards with that. And then Lindsay Weinberg was part of the original Regina show. She's singing and playing as well. And got John Bowes on saxophone, so we're having fun with it.
Very, very cool. And Lindsay, talk a little bit about Old Town School of Folk. We always mention it. It's such an incredible place.
We would not be here. I would not be doing this thing had it not been for the Old Town School, just because I was taking classes there, and I love that they have what they call ensemble classes, where you can take a class on the Beatles or a class on Pink Floyd and basically sit around for 8 weeks and learn to play the songs of a particular band. I was just watching these instructors go through all this music and play it so well. I thought, we could do something with that. And one of my first researchers was actually working with a guy by the name of Tommy Zender. I was talking to him about doing one of these shows with me. And he said, well, come see me play. I'm doing this thing with Phil Angotti at Martyrs, doing Venus and Mars. And so I went to see Phil play, and they did this whole album. And I thought, oh, my God, it is possible to do this.
Yeah.
And find people
to
make it happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the amount of talent that walks through the hallways of that place is just insane. I mean, there's incredibly talented musicians. And one of the things I always sell you every time you come down here is I'm really grateful that you bring a lot of them into the studio.
Thanks.
And we get to hear really great musicians doing really great stuff. Now, Rachel, did you go to Old Town School?
I did.
Yeah.
So I've been singing for decades, but I started playing guitar 12 years ago there. And I haven't been the best student of the guitar, but it allowed me to start writing songs myself. I really just play guitar to write songs now.
Okay.
But that started there.
Yeah. It's a pretty incredible play. What are some of the classes that you've taken there?
I went through the core curriculum for guitar, and that's like basic to bar chords and finger picking. And then I took songwriting for a long time.
Yeah.
Your band, the Bitter Roots, aren't they a bunch of Old Town instructors?
Yeah, although The only one that I've ever taken classes with is Steve Dawson. I haven't ever known Elton Smith or John Mead as teachers.
And this is your band?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I understand you have some gigs coming up, right? Let's talk about that.
I have many gigs coming up.
Let's talk about it. What do you got going on?
After the show on Friday, then the next time I play is with Gerald Dowd at Friendly Tap. We've been playing with each other for about a year and a half, so we're going to do each other's songs with other people.
Yeah.
And then I'm playing at Simon's.
My old stomping grounds.
Yeah. Sunday the 12th, I'm playing at Simon's. And Saturday the 11th, I'm playing with Phil at Goldie Burgers.
Forest Park.
Yeah.
Okay. It's Thursday, February 9th.
Yes.
At Friendly Tap. By the way, we've had some Friendly Tap people in here in the past. That whole stretch in Berwyn has just taken off.
Right?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's like Fitzgerald's, Friendly Tap, and what's the
Wire.
The Wire, yeah.
Outer
Wire.
Space is
the new one. Yeah, the new
one. That whole area has just blown up.
It's, you know, and the people are really down to earth.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They love the music and they really support it. It's a great community.
We've had a lot of that Berwyn area come in here and played
when
and talked about
when you were a kid and you heard Sven Gulli make fun of Berwyn, did you ever think that it actually become a musical
be like the hippest place to go to?
Berwyn.
All right, so the Friendly Tap in Berwyn is on Thursday, February 9th.
Yeah.
On Sunday, February 12th, you'll be playing at Simon's.
Right.
And then it's Monday, February 20th. You'll be playing at Sylvie's.
Right. That's like a special event. We're celebrating the songs of John Kuchai, who's been running. He's this guy
I know
but
John.
You know him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I knew John a long time ago.
Yeah. He's a student from Old Town who's been running this thing called Acoustic Explosion for a long time. And he gives so much time, but he doesn't often do his own thing. So a group of us decided to just cover his songs.
Yeah.
In our own way. So it'll be really interesting because his songs are very much him.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I've known John back from the 80s.
Yeah.
He was friends with me, Scott Oken, and some of these other guys that I knew
right.
for years and years ago. But that's pretty cool. So you're doing that.
And that's
at Sylvie's.
Yeah.
You just played Simon's, didn't you, Phil?
Yeah, we did.
A couple of weeks ago or something?
We did a show. It was right after Christmas, little holiday show, and it was really fun. We had Tommy Zender. Rachel sang with me, Alton Smith, Tom Ryan.
Casey
McDonough, of course. And we didn't have a set list or anything, really. I kind of sent some songs out. We're just going to do songs we've done before. And everybody's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And it fell together beautifully. We had a great time.
It's such a fun room, you know.
It really is.
And it's amazing because you know, on the Facebook and stuff, people were posting pictures of you guys at the gig.
Yeah, it was fun.
And it's so funny how much space is taken up by the band.
Yeah.
Because you guys had to actually play in front of the Christmas tree, too.
And we didn't have a drum kit that night, thank God. Tommy had a little percussion because our buddy Joe Camarillo, I remember one Christmas, actually got almost swallowed up by the tree.
I know, he was playing with my band.
Right.
We were it's a group of guys and me, and we've never stood that close to each other. It was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's such a great, I miss Simon's. And Scotty, he's just the best. Scotty, who runs Simon's, He's the best, and it's a really great place to see live music, and it's odd too because it was never really that kind of bar, you know. And then Scotty a bunch of years ago decided, you know what, I want to have some live music in here. And then I guess it was Wednesday nights. It's still Wednesday nights that they do.
Wednesdays and Sundays.
Wednesdays and Sundays. Yeah,
it's great
stuff. Does he do a cover? He doesn't even do a cover, does he?
No.
Yeah, it's amazing. Scott Martin is just the king. He's just the best.
It is amazing.
Oh, yeah. And did you guys have Glug while you were there?
Yeah.
She jumped on top of that one, man.
But I didn't have the cookie.
No. Oh, you got to have the ginger cookie.
I didn't do it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I haven't had Glug in a really long time. So, man. No. Anyway. So, Simon, you guys will be playing there, too, as well. All right. Listen, let's hear another song. Take us out with another tune, and then we'll come back and talk more with Great Moments in Vinyl.
We had a lady, she dressed me up in roses. Well, she blew my nose and then she blew my mind, yeah. It's a honky-tonk woman. She give me
God, do I love that song. All right. We're going to break here. Great Moments in Vinyl are playing Beggar's Banquet and Let It Bleed and more this Friday, February 3rd, 8:30. Some of the best musicians that are in this city are going to be on stage to do this. It's going to be awesome, and it's at Martyrs on Friday night. GreatMomentsInVinyl.com. We have a link on our Facebook page. We'll come back and talk more on 720 WGN.
Ooh, smile, release a heart that grieves. Remember what I said. Waiting on a lady. I'm just waiting on a friend. Said, I'm just waiting on a friend. I'm just waiting on a friend. I'm just waiting on a friend.
Very nice. Very nice. Great Moments in Vinyl. That was Phil Angetti and Rachel Drew performing, and they will be on stage this Friday night performing Beggar's Banquet, Let It Bleed, and more. And that was from the and more section of the show.
Right. You know, we have a full evening of music to fill, and we thought to ourselves, what else are we going to do? Yeah. And I thought at the end of the show, I'd just say to the audience, okay, we just did Beggar's Banquet, we just did Let It Bleed. What other albums do you want us to do? How about if we do something from Exile? We play Love and Cup.
We're doing a new song, too. We're doing something off of Blue and Lonesome.
Blue and Lonesome.
No, come on, really?
Yeah.
Oh, very cool, man.
So I thought
people would dig it.
Oh, my God. I forgot to mention our harp player, Bob Kessler.
Oh, Bob Kessler, our good old buddy here. Bob Kessler, newsman from WGN.
Playing harmonica.
Yeah.
So he'll be on the Blue and Lonesome track and on Midnight's Rambler and on...
He's a hell of a harp player, man.
He is. Oh,
yeah, he's good. He's good. He's also a very cool guy. He's a good newsman. He filled in for my buddy Vic Vaughn, who does news on the show. He filled in last week for him.
Sweet.
So very cool. All right, Great Moments in Vinyl, Beggar's Banquet, Let It Bleed, and more. And if you're a Bob Kessler fan, WGNites, get out there and see him. That's this Friday. And then the Valentine's Day show, Love Songs and Other Conversations, is going to be on Monday, February 13th at 8 o'clock at City Winery, which is a really, really great place, a really great room. Last time I was there, I saw Steve Earle.
Wow.
Yeah, nice. Which was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Okay, let's talk a little bit about you guys just, Rachel and Phil, you guys just did an Elvis birthday thing.
Yeah,
tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, my gosh. So our friend John Mead asked me to open for his David Bowie show, and he asked me like months ago whether I thought I could put together an Elvis show, and I thought, well, I guess. You know, I had never thought about it doing it, but man, that was just the most fun thing ever.
It was
and
really fun.
Now all
really
I want to do is sing Elvis.
Created a monster.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
And you did it at Space too, which is
that's
a great room too, man. That's a really great room.
Yeah, so Phil sang with me, played guitar, did all the Scotty Moore bits. And Josh Pyatt, who's from the Hoyle Brothers, and a bunch of other Lawrence Peters outfit, Peter Jolie group, played upright bass. And John Perrin from NRBQ was the drummer, and Alton Smith, who plays with me all the time.
Yeah,
it was a fantastic band.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And honoring the king.
Right.
Exactly. The Stones, Beggar's Banquet, Let It Bleed. Is there any other little stories that you have, Lindsay, that you would
Yeah, here's one. Here's a story from a fan by the name of Steven Van Zandt.
Oh, sure.
Once had this to say. The Rolling Stones are my life. If it wasn't for them, I would have been a soprano for real. I first saw the Stones on TV on the Hollywood Palace in 64. 64, the Beatles were perfect. The hair, the harmonies, the suits, they bowed together. Their music was extraordinary, sophisticated. The whole thing was exciting and alien, but very distant in its perfection, talking about the Beatles. Mm-hmm. But the Stones, he says, well, they were alien and exciting too. But with the Stones, the message was, maybe you can do this. The hair was sloppier, the harmonies were a bit off, and I don't remember them smiling at all. They had this traditional R&B attitude. We are not in show business. We are not pop music. And the sex in Mick Jagger's voice was adult. This wasn't pop sex, holding hands, playing spin the bottle. This was the real thing.
Nice. Nice. And, have you guys ever seen the Stones?
No.
No, you've never seen them?
I've seen them a few times.
Yeah. You know, Lindsay, have you ever seen the Stones?
No.
You've never seen the Stones?
No.
How is that possible?
I have gaps.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if Pettengill went in here, I played with him.
Yeah, right.
I babysat for
I tuned Keith's guitar for him.
I spent some time at the Chateau in France with him. It was a lot of fun.
Well, Pattengill was why he's not
here. Yeah, he was. I know. Yeah. Every time Pattengill comes in here, every time he comes in here, there's at least one new story that he tells where my mind just goes.
He's the guy that showed him the open G tuning.
Yeah, exactly. That was his idea. Yeah. No, really, from the very first time he came in here, he told me he went to Woodstock. I was like, what?
I know.
Yeah. What are you talking about? When was the first time? Do you remember the first time you saw the Stones?
Yeah, I saw them with one of my best friends. We were in bands together. We grew up together. We saw the Stones in like 1980, and we were like freaking out. We were like, oh my God, we're finally going to see the Stones.
Tattoo U tour?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh man. Yeah. See, I didn't see him. I saw him with Oaken for the first time. I'd never seen him until the Voodoo Lounge tour. It was 98.
That was cool. I saw that too.
It was a great, Soldier Field.
It was great.
Yeah. Lenny Kravitz opened.
Yep. I was at that.
Phenomenal show. And we were all like, we should have saw him in the 70s and the 80s. Because I was seeing, I went to concerts at a very young age.
Remember you thought they were old then?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, they're not going to be. Exactly. That was 25 years ago. Yeah. But we went, and we were both a little bit, and Scott never seen him either, which is amazing that Scott never seen the Stones. And we were like, okay, let's go. And, as soon as they opened up with Jumpin' Jack Flash, and as soon as they came out, I'm like, this is the Rolling Stones. I mean, it's the damn Rolling Stones in front of us. It doesn't matter. You can see them now. They're 70 years old, and they still, they're the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
That's why we're doing a track from Blue and Lonesome. Yeah. We listened to that album. We thought, oh my God, they've still got it.
Yeah, they do. They really do. Beggar's Banquet, Let It Bleed, performed in its entirety and more. Great moments in vinyl. Amazing musicians. Really cool people. Friday night, February 3rd, 8:30 at Martyrs. GreatMomentsInVinyl.com. You'll get songs and stories and all kinds of great stuff. Always a blast when you guys come down. It's just so much fun. And here's the thing. I've got to see movies and I have to sleep on Friday for my job. So I got to go see that stupid sequel to The Ring, with the creepy kid climbing out of the computer. Oh, wow. I don't want to see it, but I got to review it. But if I get enough sleep, I'll come out.
It was the sled.
okay. Thank you. Now I don't have to see Citizen Kane now, so I'm all set.
Yeah.
All right, guys, thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you.
And have a great gig. It's Friday night. And then, and don't forget, Monday, February 13th, go out for Great Moments in Vinyl Presents, Love Songs and Other Conversations, all for Valentine's Day. And all the information is on our Facebook page. Thanks again, guys. Always a pleasure. All right, we'll take a break. We got the news coming up next on 720 WGN.